Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening and eargasm pleasure. And we are waiting on our very special guest, Ava Moore, to show up. While we're doing that, I had a very interesting experience on Facebook this morning. One of my friends, conveniently, and this is a good example, actually, I think, of the way the world is now working, particularly those who are exposing scumbaggery, seem to be working together with people from all corners. So dig this. You know how, like, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com has released an article a little while ago saying that the police departments are actually private, right? Police departments are private. They're there to protect the corporation. They're not there to protect you, right? Well, in New Zealand, why would it be any freaking different? And check this out. New Zealand's Companies Office Certificate of Incorporation, 323-8729 Limited. Somebody calls their company name 323-8729 Limited. And guess what? This is to certify that the New Zealand Police Limited was incorporated under the Companies Act 1993 on the 12th day of January 2011 and changed its name to 323-8729 Limited on the 13th day of January 2011, and it was removed from the register on the 20th day of November 2012 with the signature and the seal of the registrar of the company's office, Mr. Neville Harris. It's on the 24th day of November 2012, ladies and gentlemen. So, oh my goodness. So, not only are the cops actually a company, right? I mean, think about this. Somebody walks up to police uniform and you're like, ooh, it's a cop. Somebody turns up to you in a, I don't know, what other kind of, in a McDonald's uniform, okay, and says, can I take your order, please? Right? That's an appropriate level of respect and authority that these cops actually have. They're just a company, some of their wares. The problem is, their wares are violence, malfeasance, deception, and scumbaggery. All right? I'm not talking about all cops. I really dislike it when people do that. That you criticize one thing, and what they do is they then blow it out of proportion and say you criticize everything. No, no, no. Look, I know the difference between common decency and scumbaggery, and that's the only difference, all right, that is really worthy of note when it comes to talking with anybody, particularly, and this is the more important part, anybody with power over other people. Do you understand? If people have power over you or somebody else, that power needs to be kept in check. They need to be responsible, don't they? But unfortunately, corporate responsibility practically does not exist. Has anybody seen that film, that documentary, The Corporation, where they list through the character traits and backstories and logs of a regular company, a massive Fortune 500 company to be honest. And they go through the checklist. What kind of scumbaggery have these people been committing? Well, apparently it's total scumbaggery. And in every single way, through a big checklist of character traits, including conning other people for profit, police lying to you and saying that a traffic ticket actually has lawful authority, when if you actually send the traffic ticket back with a few documents and so on and so forth and say accepted for value, it suddenly goes away. How could you possibly do that if there was any actual reality to a traffic ticket? The answer is there isn't any reality to traffic tickets. It's all just a made-up scheme to steal money off you. And I hate it when people mince words as well. Don't you? Cops giving you a ticket out you hurting anybody or damaging anybody's property? That's BS. It's just that freaking simple. You know, people would go, oh, well, you know, if we didn't give out tickets, we'd have everybody driving around, tearing ass around the roads. Look, mate, if there's no cops anywhere in sight, people don't drive crazily and erratically, do they? No. They generally keep to the speed limit because it's actually something, because it's a hell of a lot easier to drive at that particular speed in that particular area without going out of control, being crazy, and getting into a freaking car crash. It's just common sense. The problem is, if you take away people's common sense, you also then need to take away their sense of personal responsibility. Because no common sense and no personal responsibility are a good mix. Just like common sense and personal responsibility are a good mix. You know? It's disturbing to me just how pervasive the scumbaggery has become. It's infecting every part of our society. All these things that we think we freaking know, all these people that we think we freaking care about, don't matter at all. At all. They don't care. Think about the leadership positions here. Who at the New Zealand Police or any other municipal police station in the States, already constabulary in the Uber Kingdom. Who is the CEO of those corporations? Is it like the police commissioner or something like that? Like Commissioner Gordon out of Batman? Hmm? Is it? Are these the guys that hold all of the keys and just go, yep, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make it into a company here. Hey, wait, hold on a second. Is that legal? Well, I will make it legal, you know? They don't care, bro. That's the reason why I'm afraid of cops. It's also the same reason why I'm afraid of gang members and judges, because they just got no respect for the law. Really? Has anybody else noticed that? The only people that are really capable of breaking the law all the time and getting away with it constantly are those who either, A, are part of the law enforcement community, judges, police all the way through, or the legislative community, politicians and bureaucrats all the way through, and all the rest of us, ordinary citizens, private business people, we're just freaking slaves. We can't get away with a crime if we tried. I remember when I was bullied in high school, and then after a while I got kind of a lot bigger, and suddenly people stopped bullying me, so I started bullying them. It's kind of like that. As soon as you've got the position of authority, okay, where people can't do anything back to you, that's when you take advantage of the situation, isn't it? You know? Think about this. You're about to commit a crime, or at least you're thinking about committing a crime. Let's say you've got no food, no money, or whatever. Then you stop, and you don't commit the crime, because you know if you do commit the crime, then even bigger criminals called police will violate your personal sovereignty, whatever you want to call it, and beat the hell out of you with billy clubs. Right, so hence you don't commit the crime because you're afraid. You're taking a dramatic decision to a dangerous situation in a large case, aren't you? Cops, lawyers, judges, politicians, bureaucrats, in a lot of cases that I've seen, at least, heard testimony from a number of different key people in these institutions, and it's kind of like, if you're a psychopath and you're in one of those structures, not only do you not care about breaking the law, but you're really brazen about it. And anybody within your organization who starts coming at you trying to expose you, they just destroy your career. You know, they just make stuff up about you, get you thrown out of parliament or something like that. And I do believe that when that happens, when you kick the good people out, there's nobody left to expose the remaining bad people. And I think that this has happened for a number of years. Maybe it took about a generation or two. I don't know. to squeeze every last good person who wished to fight out of the system. Every last one. The best we've got now, by comparison, is people who are willing to compromise with psychopaths. Right? You know, don't kill or violate the rights of these people over here, and but it's okay to violate and kill these people here. Right? That's fine. See, that's moral relativism. This is what drives our entire society, I think, is moral relativism. Not caring about another human being's personal existence because it doesn't make you any profit. More or less. You think about even farm animals get treated better than this. Or at least with farmers who care, of course. Farmers who care understand that when an animal, it produces less. Right? Maybe you can't eat the meat or whatever. The pig, even the most disgusting ones, you know, pigs rooting in the mud or anything like that, they're actually churning over the soil like a field plow. Hmm. So something that these people are doing, which is, you know, getting their hands dirty, you know, to use a workman's type of actually has an important function in the ecosystem. What a psychopath does is they identify whatever has an important function in the ecosystem, start to imitate it so that everybody thinks that they need it, and then they start replacing everything that was actually there in the first place. So you're left up with absolutely nothing but the illusion of what you thought you had. All right? So let's say a psychopath infiltrates an unemployment benefit office or something like that, or becomes the head of welfare. Well, what's going to happen there? Well, let's see, bro. I think what we're going to do, instead of actually, I don't know, trying to help in any way, shape, or form, is just cut benefits to the people who are most vulnerable, throw them out on the street, and, you know, hope that they somehow make their way into gainful employment, like human trafficking. You know? These people don't care, man. Wait, did we just save $37 million off of cutting benefits off of poor people in New Zealand? Yes, that's right. New Zealand, a country of 4 million people, has cut $37 million of benefits to people from the taxes that they paid. And we say that that's really good. That's really good. And that's just off, allegedly, the people who are bludging off the system. Not to mention all the other cutbacks and things of that nature that are happening all over the place. I was listening to Talkback Radio this one time, right, and I think this is a prime example. The system gets you suckered in, gets you comfortable in the first place, and it just drops the hammer on you. Disabled guy calls up into this Talkback. He has to go to a doctor and get checked every second week and do a whole bunch of tests. He never has the same person do it, just to confirm that he still can't walk. Do you have any idea how stressful that is? When you can't walk, having to make your way from your home out in the kind of country where you're living on your sickness benefit because you can't freaking work when you can't freaking walk. Somebody like that is being pulled in deliberately, has to go into town, find a place to park, and make their way into the WINS office, get a whole bunch of rigmarole, the exact same questions asked over and over and over again. The exact same test being conducted over and over and over again. 15 years he'd been on a benefit, never had to do Shiite Muslim like this. They're giving us the squeeze. And they'll go after the people that can't defend themselves first. Like wolves picking off the sick lambs. Freaking disgusting, mate. And I'm not for welfare, by the way. I'm for not being a dick. You know? Maxo. douchebag of a thing to do, isn't it? We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastonShow.com. Folks, don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This little song that you're just listening to there was made by a New Zealand band. I can't even remember the name of them, but they contacted me one time, and towards the very end of the song, they give out a couple of websites, and gorillamedia.co.nz is one of them, and they were just asking me permission to promote my website, and I was like, dude, you're asking me permission to give me free promotion on a very cool song like that that has amazing lyrics that exposes scumbaggery? You betcha. You don't even need to ask permission. Just go ahead and do it, mate. And that goes for everybody else as well. If you like the Vinnie Eastwood Show and you want to like make a song that includes it, or you know, you want me to kind of sing a few lines in a rap song or whatever, or send you a megaphone recording, anything like that, I want to collaborate with as many artists as humanly freaking possible. That's the intention here, ladies and gentlemen, is collaboration and caring about people, you know, interacting with your fellow man. Because after all, if you have creative ability, that's something that identifies you as not being a psychopath. So naturally, I want to accumulate as many contacts and do as many projects with people who are not psychopaths as humanly possible. So in the off chance that some of them do come after me, demonize me, call me names or something like that, I'll have many other people who call me to see how I'm doing and is this true? And I go, no, it's not. And they go, oh, okay, well, here's the evidence, so and so forth, blah, 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 blah. And I go, okay, sweet. We're all on even keel here. Because I'm not corrupt. I'm not lying to you. I'm not doing it for the money. Look, my last paycheck was like $4,000 for the month, plus $11,900 worth of Westfield shopping vouchers. Okay, that was my last paycheck doing a job for the money. And that was like 6 or 7 years ago. And I've been living on the skin of my teeth, the generosity of listeners, and especially the extremely valued and kind help of my partner, Sarah, who I'll be marrying in January, who's been with me all this time, when I was going through the wake-up scenario that we all go through when you start to lose touch with this lie that everybody keeps telling you. You know, I don't think that we have much of a choice. But I do believe, of course, that you've got to be grateful. You know, I'm incredibly grateful to all of you listeners. You make my life complete. And it's not just because I'm an attention-seeking narcissist, although that is part of it. Anyway, we have, I believe, our guest, Ava Moore, has just signed on to Skype. So, AFR, if you want to bring her in, yes, right, sir. Now, she's all ready to go. And, we're having a little bit of problems connecting her to the Skype, I think. And this is a bit of a frustrating situation we're getting through here at AFR these days. All right. Okay. Yeah. She hasn't added you as a contact yet. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, just doing a little bit of a producing on air. It happens sometimes. So, if she adds AFR as a contact, then we'll hear from Ava more. My guitarist, Mikhail, says that she's like the fiance or wife of Bill Brockbrader, I think, who was a Navy SEAL who turned whistleblower and got famous through Kerry Cassidy's Project Camelot, I believe, radio. Now, there's a lot of things going on in the military, and apparently the military is waking up faster than a lot of other sections of society. Maybe that's because when you're in the military, when you're in full indoctrination mode, you can see the BS far more clearly, perhaps. So I'm not sure if she's actually Bill Brockbader's wife. We'll just find out. Ava, welcome to the program. Ava, speak up. We can't hear you, love. Might be muted or something.
It was frozen. No? It was frozen. Sorry, my computer keeps freezing. Hi, Vinny. How are you?
I'm very good. Maybe you should get a heater for your computer or something, or maybe have a little fire going next to it.
I'll take you up on that. That's for sure. Hi, thanks for having me on. Sorry for the delay.
No, it could be worse. I got the opportunity to rant about how much I really hate being shafted over by private corporately funded police. I was actually appreciative for the opportunity. Thank you, Ava.
Oh, you're very welcome. How are you, Vinny?
Yeah, somewhat fabulous. Somewhat fabulous.
Aw, good. That's good to hear. That's what's needed in this world today, is people who are making a difference and have the capacity to stand in that and actually own it with its totality in both polarities and keep going forward. So I commend you for what you're doing. You make it look easy, and I respect that very much, and I'm grateful for the fact that you have the broad perspective that you do, and you manage to incorporate humor, which is a great way for an adult learner to digest a little more palatable, a little more pleasing to the taste buds.
A little bit more pleasing to the taste buds. Yes, I am. Juicy like an orange. And we've had Ava kind of drop out now again.
I'm back.
Okay, now Ava, do you want to have you got a landline number there? If you just want to type that into the Skype chat here, we should be able to connect you up by that. If we're going to be having these kind of connectivity issues with your Skype, I think
for so, sure. Okay,
yeah, just type it on.
I remember this spiel that people seem to have this issue when they have the opportunity to come on your show.
It didn't used to happen. In fact, our former board op was very surprised when it does happen on my show. He said that I'm known, out of all the hosts at AFR, for having the least technical issues.
Uh-huh.
And it's been happening more and more recently, but I think there's more technical issues over at the American Freedom Radio board time. We've got a whole new board ops in. They're just learning the system, and these are just growing pains, you know, that kind of thing. You've got to make allowances, because
absolutely,
it's a big complicated system to just have yourself be plopped right in the middle.
Well, congratulations,
of it.
That's good news. That's yeah. Very good news.
Well, to the board ops credit, they're making lemonade out of lemons, you know.
Absolutely. No, that is very good news. I mean, I think growth is one of the most important value structures to have right now in this day and age, because things are changing so quickly. Bill likens the amount of truth that is coming forward to attempting to drink out of a fire hose. And that's not necessarily the most easy thing to do. So I commend people who are growth oriented and willing to roll up their sleeves and get in to this mess to help bring solution forward. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's cancer is also growth oriented.
Well, yeah, see, and yeah, part of my background is looking at things from a holographic standpoint and understanding templates, paradigm templates. Once you get a a snippet of the micro, you can then expand it into the macro, and you can see things that are well beyond your knowledge set, just if you understand the primers of what the consciousness is functioning. And that, you know, that would apply to cancer and all disease, uranium. My mentor was actually pricked with uranium in Russia after the fall of the Cold War. He went over as an American to assist in the transitioning of Russia into a more democratic, even though that's, you know, somewhat of an illusion, democracy, to allow them to start to rise into a place of function where they could not compete, but step up to the international markets. So he was empowerment oriented, and some of the Russian mafia didn't quite like his empowering some of the communities that were stopping trainloads of cocaine going through their community, and they targeted
How
him.
How dare they stop trainloads of cocaine? The audacity!
Yes, yes. So he was targeted with uranium. He was pricked, and he got very ill. And part of what he did is go into the information sets, the templates of the consciousness of uranium, and negotiate with it. And also used sonar from dolphins, worked with dolphins to empower his biological matrix to heal. So there's some amazing things that are available. It's just we're not always given both sides of the information set. We're only given one side of the polarity in the hopes that we will become overwhelmed and shut down and give up and roll over passively. But there's always present, equal and opposite, the solution to whatever polarity is showing up. And a lot of times it's more frequency, thought, consciousness that is affecting and driving the solution to the surface. It's whether or not we have the capacity to get grounded and focus on the solution and find it. So
you know, I was just thinking about this. Reality is like a projected hologram of an hourglass. Now, think about the hourglass shape. You know, you've got a little bottleneck in the middle. That's where we are right now. That's just reality. And up above us is the positive realities that we could expand into. And down below us are the negative elements that we could delve into. And it works both ways. If you focus your lens upwards, you become better and better on an exponential scale until it gets very, very wide indeed at the very top of the hourglass when we sand is full. And if you start focusing on the negative, you start looking into scumbaggery. You start seeing that the pattern of scumbaggery through the lens gets magnified and magnified and magnified on an equally infinite negative scale.
This is true. This is very true. I wanted to actually I wanted to ask you a question. Do you peruse the YouTube channels of people that are covering the weather? Have you looked at Dutch Sense? Have you followed him at all?
I've heard of him. Tried to get him on the show a couple of times. He didn't turn up. It was unfortunate.
Okay.
But because of, you know how you said before how I do what I do and I make it look easy?
Yeah.
It's only easy for me because I cut out everything that everybody else does. I'm not reading articles, not watching YouTube videos.
Oh, I understand. Yes, I understand. I absolutely understand that. The reason why I ask is that I actually had somebody bring it to my attention that he put out a recent post where he was talking about the alternative media being offered diplomatic immunity as well as sums of money by an independent group, you know, claiming to have ties to M1 and Swiss Indo. I'm just wondering if you've heard anything about this, because this is really
I've
interesting.
Never heard of M1 or was it Swiss Swindle? Was it?
Swiss Indo. I've had no contact with them, but the reason why I bring this up is because I think for all listeners out there, what people, and I would love your feedback on this, Vinny. I actually thought it would be an interesting game to play with you, the 80-20 game, much like, you know, Wheel of Fortune or The Price is Right. It would be like a time on your show where you could do the 80-20 game with people. And what I've come to realize is that most people in this arena have an 80-20 rule. The intentions around the rollout of that 80-20 are always to be questioned, but for most part, I've noticed that most people have about 20% of their experience that they hold back for whatever reason. And what I would encourage all the listeners and the people out there who are following all these different alternative media sources is to keep that into their perspective and into their heart and mind, because I think that it's important so that we, the alternative media, are held accountable in a loving, compassionate way. Because, I mean, this game is so on the ground, you know, functioning while you run, you know, on the fly, that it's not easy. And what I'm talking about is the idea that perhaps there are people out there who are looking to financially pay off portions of the alternative media. And that is, you know, technically co-opting. And so I'm concerned. I think it's worth bringing up. I wanted to know if you'd heard anything like that, because I guess Dutch Sense has some religious background where he felt that after he was approached, he could not comply with this offer, and he thought it was worthwhile to get on his YouTube channel and actually roll out and disseminate this information that was coming to him as an offer. He felt it was important that the people who are following the alternative media be given this heads up, that there are sanctions out there who are potentially offering money and allegiance through diplomatic immunity. I don't know if it's true. I mean, I don't know Dutch Sense. I just think that this is worth bringing up to everyone that's, you know, out there listening to alternative media. And I wanted to...
I have countless thoughts along this vein, and I will elucidate them after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere.
Gangster government and con artist, parroting puppet gangster, playboy scum on top. There is no escape from this worse gangster police state using all of the deadly gangster Frankenstein controls.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. 5 days a week. My very special, lovely guest is Ava Moore. Now, you want to talk about whether or not there are actually agencies out there that are going to potentially approach members of the truth movement in order to pay off and control them and get their allegiance, right?
Well, I don't know, but that was what
Dutch Sense... This is the allegation.
Yeah, that's what Dutch Sense rolled out, that it was against his moral or ethical and or religious beliefs to accept this offer, so he thought it was worth bringing it forward to the community to have knowledge.
Are you saying somebody approached him and he's reporting that?
Yeah, apparently somebody approached Dutch Sense and said, look, we're doing this. We're offering alternative media personnel who have, I think, reached a certain criteria, which would probably be a viewing audience. We're approaching them to offer them allegiance, financial backing, and also diplomatic immunity, which, I mean, that for me on everything that's being offered, the diplomatic immunity, that was the one that really kind of put a fire under my ass, because it's like, well, what are the criteria that they're offering these people in the alternative media arena, diplomatic immunity? And therefore, if it is tied to the United Nations, you know, or what country? Because, I mean, you can buy a diplomatic immunity or diplomatic passport and qualify for $250,000. So, I mean, is it just money? And if so, you know, what allegiance is that? You know what I mean? This is a very interesting conversation. I really wanted to bring it up with you because I know you have a very vast background and you see things from a wider perspective and you've got, you know, connections with people all over the world. So apparently Dutch Sense came out and said that this was coming through Swiss Indo and potentially people through OPPT.
Okay, and so what's the background of these people, right?
And he didn't go into any more. He didn't talk about the criteria. He didn't talk about anything other than what was offered and that he turned it down.
Okay. All right. Let's assume that he's telling the truth. Let's say, for example, there is currently, as we speak, almost all of the top truther activists, YouTubers, radio hosts, so on and so forth, are currently co-opted.
Let's see if we've got evidence for that. How many psychopaths do we have in the truth movement that host radio shows or make YouTubes or something like that, who are very vicious, nasty people and so on and so forth? There's actually a number. So the psych profile fits the MO. And on top of that, what other kind of loyalty are they buying? Are they saying don't mention certain things? Are they saying do mention certain things? Are they saying cover talking points?
This is it.
Are they talking about covering particular events in order to, play down them and say that they're all infiltrated and stuff like that? So the seeds of dissent, the CIA is very adept at this practice, the FBI as well. There are quite a number of different instances where I can think of back throughout history where people had used COINTELPRO not only to destroy leaders of particular movements. I believe COINTELPRO started when Martin Luther King was starting to get a lot of traction, like a lot of big movement in the civil rights struggle in America. And so the FBI came up with this idea of basically taking people out by any means necessary.
Yeah.
They can blackmail you.
Divide and conquer.
They can physically threaten you. They can demonize you in the media. They can kill you. But most of the time they prefer to just buy you off because it's much easier. And so I have no doubts that this practice hasn't been wiped. I mean, what's so radically different about the United States today as it was during the civil rights movements when they were just shooting black people in the street, you know?
But this is and people need to think that it's not just the United States any longer. This is global. And also always bear in mind that there are sanctions within the United States who are warring with each other. So that adds a nice, interesting twist. And I've been here in the United States for 2 years. And it's taken, as a Canadian, it's taken me a little bit of time to adjust to not only the political gameplay and seeing through the media disinformation, the mainstream media disinformation, co-opting of, you know, energy focus, but also the holographic gameplay in the fact that the United States has literally got, you know, the Pentagon, the CIA warring between each other, then the U.S. Navy and Naval Secret Security, Naval Space Programs. You know, like, there's all these different sanctions that are jostling for power and to be the cook in the kitchen. And so in real time, on a holographic context, you can see things get constructed holographically and then deconstructed within days. It's amazing and it's bizarre. And it's really, for me, as a newbie from another country, you know, who is just trying to get some ground footing so that I can, you know, just be present, is interesting. And
could I interject here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because here's the danger of delving into the possibility of people being co-opted. It means you stop trusting people altogether, which is a bad, bad move.
Well,
there are people that you can trust, but here's the thing: when somebody violates your trust and you get really, really depressed and upset about it, kind of thing, and make you feel like, oh, I'm never going to trust anybody again. That's like a woman breaking up with a man and then saying, all men are pigs, and I'm never dating another man again, okay? It doesn't make sense. You've got to procreate in some way, motherfucker, Let's think about this.
Absolutely.
You can't cut out. I mean, that's the problem with people. When you don't trust anybody, it means you also turn away people who are trustworthy.
Right. And absolutely. And that is in and of itself.
Even in so doing. Yeah. And that fulfills the agenda by itself. Just co-opting somebody and you even losing trust in them makes you automatically lose trust in all the good people in the truth movement anyway.
Hold on a second. Can I just say discernment skills down. Discernment is the very key.
I say forgiveness skills. More importantly, forgive yourself for being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people will freaking deceive you. As soon as you do a little bit of research into somebody, real research, and try and look up for backed documents, as soon as you gain suspicion of somebody, then you start looking into their background and the people who know them and then see their trailed in a checkered past, it makes sense all of a sudden. It's very easy to discern who's an insider.
I don't know that it is, because there are people within sanctions like that come forward that have ties to CIA who are trying to bring truth forward and keep their ties. So there are people who I think that you're right. I see it as compassion. I see it as compassion as being the key that turns. That unlocks trust. I think that certain people have different agendas and different motivations. And when you understand what's in it for them and what is the guiding principles that they move from, then you can understand how to predict through algorithm or holographically what they're doing. And then you can kind of be in interaction with them, because all life is self-sustaining. I mean, when it comes down to it, most people are motivated by keeping themselves and their loved ones safe. And, you know, as more and more truth comes out and as more and more people have the capacity to come forward and honestly share truth, you know, the need for the greater listening audience to stay in that perspective of 80-20. And I think that's a good rule of thumb. Like, at any time, somebody may be giving only 80% of the truth and holding back 20. And it's not necessarily always for nefarious purposes. It could be for their own safety. You know what I mean? So I guess compassion is definitely something that I see as vital. And that is for self especially, because that is the hardest thing, is when people get burnt, they recoil. And like you say, like they go into a place of shutdown, and then there's no co-creative capacity. I think that's a very valid point.
Well, here's the point, encapsulated really succinctly. As soon as you take the money, you're theirs forever. Okay? And not only that, you automatically are contributing to destroying the truth movement. Even if you take the money and you don't even, and they never even tell you to do anything, just the mere fact that you're taking the money and people might find out about it, lose trust in you. They might lose trust in the entire movement. You've derailed somebody's interaction within a whole scheme of thought here. It's that dangerous. Don't take the money.
Well, and see, how do people get by with the whole donation button thing then? Then that becomes the conversation, is like, you know, if you open the door to have donations, then, you know, there's, you know,
there's always potential. There's always potential for abuse, I think. When people trust you enough to donate, say, $500 or something like that, and you don't come through and keep doing the same thing that you were always doing, you know? That's why I take donations. I just keep doing what I'm doing. And the reason people donate is because they like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I don't change. I just keep doing it, don't I? So, you know, you've got to follow through, I think.
Yeah.
And that's the way. The listeners really do need to hold their favorite radio show host accountable every single way and every single day. Otherwise, hey, they might be leading you as a lamb to the slaughter. It's not cool, man. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest is Ava Moore. And Ava, I have a question for you. Is Bill Brockbrader your husband or something?
Or something. Yes, Vinny, I was actually there. Bill is my husband, and I was there.
You have to refresh me, like, entirely, and also kind of frame up for
thank
the listeners
you.
Who have not been aware at all.
Yes, thank you very, very, very much. So Bill came out January 2012, shortly after the NDAA was passed at Christmas, and this caused him great concern. He's had a very high up security clearance for a very long time and understands how the gameplay works at certain levels. So, you know, in 2011, the NDAA was passed. January 2012, he decided he would go on a public level and did an interview with Carrie Cassidy and Project Camelot, where he talked about his background, the fact that he was a part of a adjacent SEAL team that went by the term the Nines. As of today, there is no official declaration of such a team, so it is impossible for him to prove. And if he ever tried to prove with data that he possesses, it would put him in violation of national security, and he could potentially end up in, you know, a hole, some secret prison. So it put him in a very perplexing position. He did his best to bring forward information that he possessed that he felt was necessary, which was that the United States was at an asymmetrical war between the years of, you know, who knows, I'll say 94 to 98, that he was for sure involved in Afghanistan pre-9/11, which is kind of how he became in the current position he's in now, which is he diverted a second, they were double tapping, and he diverted a second missile. He was tasked to guide line of sight, a Tomahawk missile, in Afghanistan and Iraq, but this particular missile was in Afghanistan. And the second double strike, for the listener audience that doesn't understand, they send in one missile, they wait, 5 minutes, and send in a second. And usually the second missile is what targets rescue aid workers. People rush in to recover, you know, dead or alive. And the second missile will target those rescue aid workers. Well, he had a crisis of conscience, and he diverted the second into a hillside, which created an international political event. And at this point, the United States could not charge him for this event, being that, you know, they weren't publicly at war. And this was a covert war, asymmetrical war, and it was the precursor to 9/11. It was setting up potential damage to people that would leave them in a position of desperation. So, you know, of course, once he got back to U.S. soil, they had to find something to trump up on him, and they did. They used carnal knowledge of a minor, and this is very, you know, akin to Julian Assange-type sexual, you know, issue of defaming someone, destroying their character in a public way. Well, unfortunately for Bill, he had the great opportunity of growing up in a Mormon community, and from all intents and purposes, what is easily discerned is the intricate intertwining of the Mormon communities and the military industrial complex. You know, for all purposes, there's breeding programs, genetic programs that they can use the church's discernment and advise people to get married based on their genetic profiles. So there's a lot of, you know, the church ordains you two to be married kind of behavior. And, you know, this is an asset for the military industrial complex, and it's used very closely in partnership. some of the transgressions that Bill was guilty of were commonplace in his community. And one of the things that most people need to be aware of is the incest rate in the Mormon communities are, it's very high. Bill was, you know, in a position where he had a sister wife type arrangement, and this was then used against him at the most covert important time. And, you know, I believe that that family that he was married into did get, you know, harassed, gang stalked, and pressured into going along, and probably also a financial payoff. And the added benefit that all the sins could be lumped onto Bill, and he could be excommunicated out of the, defellowshipped out of the community, and, you know, they could wash their hands of any of the incest that had taken place. And I'm not suggesting this was Bill. I'm saying that this sister-wife, that kind of deal that Bill was involved in, had been abused from the age of six by family members. And to some extent, you know, being with Bill may have been a solace, is that she, you know, was now in a family unit. But, you know, those details are private. They weren't details that he publicly came out with at the beginning. He made it very cut and dry that he was charged with carnal knowledge of a minor and that it was consensual sex when he did his Carrie Cassidy interview. Since that day, his original interview with Carrie, he has, you know, come to a lot more understanding of the depth of programming that he has been involved in. And the basis for the majority of personnel is patriotic programming. And he very much just wanted his day in court, thinking that the United States Constitution was an act. And in fact, it is, you know, usurped. There is no, there is no bar associate, in my opinion, that is capable of producing justice in this world.
Well, I believe that's because they really lowered the bar, didn't they?
Yes, it's very low. It is very low, and it's scary. It's sad. And
you couldn't even limbo under that bar, yo.
Ugh. I watched this like slow motion. I was with Bill 2 weeks after his second interview with Carrie Cassidy. So he did a second interview with Carrie Cassidy, Bill Ryan, and David Wilcock. And within a week and a half of that interview, I was with Bill in Idaho. We were brought there by a member, an ex-Pentagon personnel, who, you know, offered Bill potentially some safe haven, refuge. And I don't have the skill set to discern accurately, looking back, if that was the intention or if it was a setup. If I were to
ask Bill, were they telling you everything you wished that you could hear at that time so that they could gain your trust really instantly and get you into a situation where you're completely compromised and absolutely within their power?
Absolutely. Yes.
Then it was a psychopath.
It was set up quite strategically. And see, I, being a newbie to this whole arena, had my heart set on the fact that Bill maybe was just experiencing a little bit of paranoia, and I didn't blame him. But sure enough, within a week of me coming into a USB full of files that would help me in contract law, basically to help Bill, and being placed as power of attorney for Bill, everything in my immediate surrounding was destabilized systematically in a very playbook regard, which created confusion, because at that point I still very much believe these people were helping us. So it's been an interesting 2 years, Vinny. I was there when he did his interview with you, and I actually really liked that. I thought it was very well done. I've had the honor of watching this man go through the ups and downs of the last 2 years, which was his marriage dissolved. I liken his behavior to be that of being married to the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the oath that he swore, and I have been his mistress.
So when I asked if you were his wife or something, you were all something.
Well, we are married, but it took him going through his trial and watching his lawyer, Robin Fife, throw him under the bus with you know, grace and a smile on her face to understand that the rule of law in the United States is not functioning. There is no recourse for people who look to seek it through the justice system. So that was devastating for him. He, you know, literally went through a breakup with his Constitution Bill of Rights. It's not to say that it cannot be recreated in the spirit that it should be. It was a wake-up call, though, to have him come to terms with the fact of that is not in any way, shape, or form functioning the way that it should, which is a blessing. I mean, I guess in his words, he needed to see how badly it's gotten. Now he has the honor of going through the transition from the judicial process into the prison industry, which is, you know, human trafficking and profiting on the stock market. Interesting name, stock market. I would say the justice system is probably the most effective gang stalkers in partnership.
Well, yeah,
with,
because they have gangs that come after you with like semi-automatic weapons and stuff like that and aerial drones.
Yeah, this is very true. This is very true. And there are people out here who are risking their livelihood, their life, and their comfort zone to get this truth out there.
Well, the Founding Fathers pledged three things. It was their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor.
Yeah. So, we have work to do on this planet. We need everyone who is on this planet to come to terms with that reality and roll up their sleeves and dive in. People such as yourself who are doing a good job bringing truth forward and doing it in a way that is bite-sized and digestible. And I want to thank you, Vinny.
Think about this lawyer that threw a bill under the bus. His name was Fife, right? What, like,
yes,
like, was there some kind of giant that was some kind of giant that you find him at the top of some kind of corrupt beanstalk? You know, he's like a bit of a thief. His name's Fife, and he's your foe, and it's not fun.
Nice, look at that on the fly. Ba-dum-bum. Ching. Yes, and it was a she, which, you know, we really thought. Getting outside the old boys club, working with a newbie and a female might actually give us some leverage. Unfortunately, it did not. And at one point, I caught my right hand up in the air and my shoe had somehow managed its way off my foot and was about to be hurled at her head. Mock speed, I did grow up as a tomboy and I was a bad catcher and a shortstop. So I have quite the arm on me. And at one point, I almost hurled my shoe at her head a la George Bush. And yeah. That was a very interesting moment for me because I caught
myself.
They could have used
your arm in Iraq, Ava.
Yeah. Well, see, this is it. We're on this small planet and it's becoming smaller and smaller every day. And there are people who are doing damage control for money. And the damage control for money game seems to be never ending. And is only getting us deeper and deeper into quicksand. And the lines become more and more blurred. And right and wrong seem, you know, more justifiable based on excuses than truth. And I really am concerned that most people on this planet need to come to terms with this in a way that allows them to free themselves of the go-along, get-along mentality and step into their true power and whatever their divine purpose is and start playing that game rather than the 9-to-5 for tax.
Here's what the go-along, to get-along mentality gets you. The Bill Brock Broder case. Somebody gets completely betrayed by his government and everybody looks on and goes back to work the next day.
Yeah, it's difficult. I have compassion. And, you know, like I was a complete stranger. I came from another country to get behind this man because I could see the primer. I could see the the holographics of what he was doing. He was bringing forward through the event horizon multiple streams of consciousness that were tied to macro systems, the military-industrial complex, the black projects, the space programs, black technology, Mormonism.
It's like the government's secret projects are like Pandora's box, and basically Bill was in there with a freaking crowbar, forcing that box open so we could all see what's inside it.
Yes. Bless him. Bless him. And, you know, he has been sentenced to be in a prison. And the prison that he's currently in is SeaTac. It's in Seattle, Washington. And it was just his 41st birthday on October 22nd, and I will ask your listening audience if they wouldn't mind writing him and wishing him a very happy birthday and giving him some true currency, which is love and support. That is the true currency of our souls. That is the true currency of this planet, is love and support and attention in gratitude.
What address do people write to, Ava?
Should I give it to you or read it or both?
I reckon, both would be a good idea, because that way I can put it on the archives as well, so that the people going to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com archives can actually see the address, so you can actually send Bill a letter of love. Not too loving, by the way. The married man here.
Aww.
And what about books?
Yes, books have he has a photographic memory, so he reads quite quickly, and they have a great impact on his happiness. So yes, books, they do have to come from either the publisher or Amazon. They cannot come from people directly because of, you know, the suspect of what might also be in those books. So they have to come from a reputable source, you know.
Yeah, there's a reason why they call prison guards screws, because they wound very tight.
You know, I have to give a shout out to the people at the SeaTac prison. They just went through their federal furlough, and I want to say that for the most part, these people are just doing a job and are also very aware of the corruption and how far up it goes. And so I want to say thank you to the prison. They do need to make some changes, and that is to allow the inmates who have been sentenced there. It is a holding facility for the most part, but there are a few prisoners who are sentenced to serve their entirety there, and they do not allow them sunlight, which is a huge human rights issue. They need their vitamin D. This is huge. And that prison, I don't think the current administrating warden is responsible for that, but
think about this. Oh my God, we've got all these dangerous government prisoners. What's the most important thing we can take away from them? The sun! Frick you! Okay, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is Ava Moore, and I was listening to the ad over the previous break, and it's got those recordings of those police officers going, you know, if you do not disperse, we may use police action or sound weapons on you or something. I was just thinking about, you know, maybe you have like a Corexit at 9500 megaphone, you know, cruise on down to the Gulf Coast.
Ouch.
And just say something like this.
This is Corexit at 9500. If you do not disperse, you may be and or subject to other police action. This is Corexit. at 9500. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
That is something very serious. Correction is not fun.
Yeah, exactly. And so the oil might be scared enough by the cracks at 9500 megaphone to disperse.
Yeah, what can be done other than perhaps a plasma, an arc plasma reactor, you know, to reconstitute things back to their basic molecular structure? Short of that, I'm not sure what is going to
happen.
It's
one of those problems just like Fukushima, right?
Uh-huh, exactly.
And somebody showed me a photo of the Fukushima radiation plumes in the Pacific Ocean. It, like, covers virtually the entire Pacific Ocean, washing up on the coasts of New Zealand and everything. And then I thought, and then Sarah was like, oh, my God, that's so scary that we can't eat anything out of the Pacific Ocean. I said, yes, but if you also then have another picture of all the corrects at 9500 contamination and all the oil and stuff like that that's sitting on the Gulf Coast floor, and you do a plume satellite imagery of that, I'm sure it would probably cover most of the North Atlantic as well.
Well, don't forget, too, they did use Coraxane over a decade ago up in with the spill involving XL Valdez in the Arctic. So that area never recovered.
Apparently none of those workers survived either.
Exactly. Which is why there should never have been any use of it along the Gulf.
They used it in New Zealand. We had
I did not know that.
Yeah, we had a big container ship called the Rena. It was registered in Lithuania. It's really good and funny trick about the shipping industry. If you register your ship in certain places, they have lax safety regulations. So if you've got a really old, crappy ship that you've got to still make money off of and you can't afford to repair, you register in a place like Lithuania, which is notorious for having the most lax safety procedures, and then they wind up crashing it off the coast of one of our beach cities, kind of thing, called Tauranga, and they sprayed corrects at 9500 on it, like in the opening, like a couple of hours, you know, they're flying and these things all of a sudden, just, oh my God. And then they just stopped because it wasn't dispersed in nothing, because it was fuel oil, you know, that really sticky toffee type tar oil. Mm-hmm. Can't be dispersed by corrects no matter how hard you try.
Yeah, this is it. You know, it's going to take all of the people on this planet working together, getting past being right. And that was the hard part, is a lot of people, when they wake up, they have, like, they go through their natural cycle of grief, which is anger. And it's okay to be angry. I just always want to encourage people to stay focused on moving through anger, because it's important to go through that, but to get to being effective and always asking yourself, what does effective look like? And, you know, it's easy to stay angry, and it's easy to stay in almost like a rebellious teenage mindset where you're just like complaining about everything. And I have compassion for people that are there. The thing is, though, a lot of times our original idea of who to complain about is coerced through media manipulation, and it's actually not effective. So this is where the alternative media becomes so valuable to protect and support people like Vinny, and that means financially, but also you know, by being discerning and diligent and supporting the truth above all,
holding us to account as well,
and this planet and the earth, you know, that otherwise what, we have no home. And until, you know, Ralph Ring comes out with all of his spaceships and our consciousness gets to a place where we can actually use and interface with this technology, we're kind of stuck here. So we probably want to start taking some action and getting out of the 9-to-5 paradigm of, you know, fancy cars and sexy shoes and, you know, lavish lifestyles, and living that mindlessness is not going to help the next generation. I mean, the United States is $17 trillion. They went up $4 trillion. What was it in like 4 days? $1 trillion after the budget was signed with no cap. It's like, what do people not understand? That's future generations being written into slavery, debt slavery. Unless, you know, this whole system is reset, this is servitude. This is slavery. And This is serious. This is so out of control. It's going to take all of us getting together and being willing to stop the madness. And
the convenient thing is, because it's a very eclectic group of problems that we're dealing with,
yes,
everybody can tackle one problem, you know, and all the problems will get solved. And that's the thing. One person does make the difference in every particular industry or strain of scumbaggery, you know. Julian Assange accomplished a lot. Here in New Zealand, Kim.com has accomplished a lot. Various members of the Truth Movement radio community, David Icke and Jack Blood, they've accomplished a lot over their time. They're all just doing their part.
Yep.
And that's not the problem. Problem isn't the people doing their part. The problem is a lot of the people who sit and passively spectate.
Yes, on the sidelines.
This is not a ball game where some figurative.
Not here to entertain. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to entertain. I don't know about you. The ball game that is being played here, whichever side wins, whichever side you're supporting, there are actual direct consequences for it, okay? Rather than just some kind of a score on the scoreboard. It's not like, oh, New World Order wins, we lose, okay, I'll just go back home and eat some Doritos off the couch and watch some cable TV. No, it's mm-hmm. not going to happen like that. They're going to take your home off you. They're probably mm-hmm. going to exterminate you with some kind of a bioweapon or force you to take vaccines or something like that.
Yeah,
so you get
I
some
love
kind
your
of designer off.
Yeah, your vaccine show you did last week or the week before was awesome. I props to you. Same with Morgellon. Same, you know, there's all kinds of things that are going on. I want to take a minute, though, before we run out of time, and I want to give the address for everyone out there that doesn't know how to help. Writing a letter, taking the time to write a letter, no matter where you are on this planet. I mean, in all honesty, international mail makes a huge impact for Bill's quality of life. It lets the system know that people are still holding them accountable. They are still having and holding Bill in their mind's eye, and this helps. So everyone out there, please take the time. Even if you don't know, that's the biggest question. What do I say to him, Eva? I don't know what I should say. Say whatever you want. You know, you don't have to use your name. You can use someone else's name. You can use someone else's address. Just make sure you put on a return address and a name on the envelope and just send him some love. Tell him that you are grateful for the sacrifices he's made and that you appreciate the fact that he made truth more important than anything else. This goes a long way. And like I said, this is the true currency of this planet and of this holographic group. Interaction framework reality. The address is William Newell Brock Brader. His inmate number is 14664-023. He is located at Frank Delta Charlie, so FDC SeaTac Prison, which is a federal detention center. So that's what you put. You put his name, his inmate number, then you put FDC SeaTac, Federal Detention Center, underneath that. And it's P.O. Box 13900, Seattle, Washington, 98198, United States of America. and they won't let you send anything other than, you know, mail. You can print off pictures. You can send. He wants to see pictures. He would love to see your face so he can connect and sync on a telepathic level. Some people aren't comfortable with that. That's fine. Send him some funny comics. Send him something that will make his spirit rise, because right now he's being denied vitamin D, and this is, you know, an issue, and he needs some life force assistance. This is like man down time. So, you know, not only was it his birthday, but just being able to read the energy off of the paper is very empowering for him. The other thing I want to talk about is my very good friend Nancy Hopkins has written a book, and she's dedicated one third of the proceeds to this book to Bill himself. Not to me, to Bill. The book is called Cosmic Reality. She's just published it. She's doing some alterations on it. She goes into the ties between the shooting of John F. Kennedy, the movements that were happening, and you know, some of her ties to the NSA and black projects, remote viewers, etc. It's a great book, Cosmic Reality. I'll get the link to you, Vinny. And her name is Nancy Hopkins. So please, if you're interested in doing something and you don't know how to help, get this book and empower yourself. Learn about the game. gameplay that goes on at this top echelon level internationally, you'll be helping Bill. And you'll be educating yourself, which is what we need, is people taking the time to really see how deep this rabbit hole goes and start to learn discernment, start to learn empowerment, and be inspired by Bill. I know that's kind of a hard thing to get your head wrapped around because he's in jail, but I will tell you, it is an honor. It has not been an easy 2 years for me. I basically spent 4 months with him under duress. He kept me at an arm's reach distance in all facets, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, romantically. He had mixed feelings about whether or not, number one, he could trust me, and number two, if he was willing to allow me to go through what I was about to go through, because it's not easy. And it has been an absolute honor. The man is a genius. He has definite, very high security clearance understanding. He has a lot to offer this world, and I will ask everyone out there to set the intention of seeing in their mind's eye him come a day where he is able to roam free on this world, and is seen for the truth, nothing more. He doesn't want to be a leader. He just wants to be seen for the truth that he brought forward. He wants, you know, some kind of reconciliation in the fact that he is bringing truth forward for everyone's best intention and good.
I was also contemplating during the last break how you were thanking me for letting you come on and tell Bill's story, and I'm just like, I almost feel guilty that you're thanking me, like almost how dare you kind of thing. I'm not in jail. I haven't had all my freedoms taken away from me. I haven't had all my my family and my entire life itself and all those that are closest to me destroyed in the process. I haven't had anything like that. Please don't thank me for just doing what I should be doing.
Well, you know, you're holding space, and that's important. It's important for there to be a place in the consciousness for truth to come forward, and that's what I see you doing. And I think that, you know, the fact that you have an international reach is affecting a large quantity of consciousness. Yesterday evening I was talking to a man who's an inventor, and he was talking about what was his name? Oh, goodness, I'm going to have a blackout. This gentleman who was writing, he understood that the CIA had taken control of technology that would allow them to remote view or forward view the future and the timelines and the impacts of things that were coming down the pipe, and how they allowed for certain things to happen and to capitalize off of them, disaster capitalize and gameplay, strategic capitalizing. And he was talking about the fact that you know, one man got on and started a blog that he was rolling out this information. And just the sheer fact that he was disseminating this information allowed for enough of a consciousness demographic to say no to these things happening in their intentions. And in that intention, it changed the outcome. So people like yourself are very important. And it's also important that people like yourself are supported, and I'll be honest, myself, because I'm here doing the best I can to hold space for truth for this man, and I hold the role of an observer. I'm observing, and we all know in particle physics, the observer affects what's being observed, and so that's very key in just being an observer and watching truth come up and marking it in the consciousness. That's huge. It makes a difference, and having, you know, alternative media hold space for people to come forward is valuable for this world to change and transform into a one that is much more in alignment with who we are now. And that's the problem, is that the consciousness has been stifled. It has been capped, and that fire hose is still downloading consciousness. And there's this blockade of like what is coming in and what is being allowed to disseminate on this planet. And you know, that creates kind of tension. So
that's right.
Thank you.
We're like truth movement pimps. We disseminate the hose of consciousness. We'll be right back after the break.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The show that's all about being a mafioso and telling the stories that the big bangster elite scumbaggery mother frankers don't want you to tell. And my very special guest is Ava Moore, the wife and mistress of Bill Brockbrader, who's in prison right now. And it's his 41st birthday, indeed. Very soon, recently, anyway. We have a very nice, very, very nice happy birthday song to play for him. Put up. Roll that check.
We could play the song right now if you like, guys. Is it not working? Oh, there we go.
Oh,
my man Mikhail Pierce on the flamenco guitar there. Yeah, we wrote that on his birthday. And we figured that it's way better than the other happy birthday song, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, that is like soul, like to the core. Thank you for playing that. That was beautiful and sharing that, Vinny. You're a very talented man.
Well, thank you. you know, what you do means a lot to a lot of people, you know, because they all interpret it as thinking it was about them, you know. And I don't know about you, but when it's my birthday, I like to be kind of God for a day. You know, everybody got to make me some frickin' eggs Benedict. Got to get me beer. You know, presents and so on and so forth. It'd be nice, you know. Just a nice day where I don't have to be the subject to anybody else's whims. Everybody is subject to mine. And unfortunately for Bill, he's still at the subject of other people's whims. And so I hope he remembers and keeps his sanity and keeps his hope by remembering those days when he was young and free and nothing stood in his way.
Mm. Well, I can tell you that the birthday, his birthday was on the 22nd, so last week, and there has already started coming in letters and postcards and books and stuff, so it's helped him immensely. I want everyone listening to not underestimate just sending a letter, what that does. And this is somebody who works on a different way. He has understandings of how to affect, as many people do on this planet, I'm just learning, but just sending a letter will do so much for his morale. And I don't want anyone out there, I want them to understand how important it is to please, if you're listening, take the time and write him. And then also, I got the website for this book, Cosmic Reality. It's actually two books in one. And the second book has a great portion dedicated to Bill. She actually writes about Bill and the connection that she has on a telepathic level with him. She did work for the NSA. She was involved with remote viewers. So it's an interesting read, to say the least. And the book is called Cosmic Reality. And the website, for everyone, one-third of the proceeds are going to Bill. Not me, to Bill. The website is http://21c-online.com, Cosmic Reality, -1.html. And if you want to Google it, it's just Cosmic Reality and then put Kennedy in and it should pop up. And it's two books in one. I just got it last night, so I'm just starting. Bill, however, has, I think, finished it today. And so tonight we get to visit. We visit 4 days a week for 2 hours. I'm allowed to go and see him now. I get to hug him, kiss him, and hold his hands for 2 hours face-to-face, no distractions. We get to talk. And it's been amazing. He's like a dog with a bone right now. He's been watching
Speaking
the financial.
Of which, they don't do conjugal visits at this facility, do they?
No, they don't. We get to hug and kiss. And it's almost like, I tease him. I say, I think on some level there's some subconscious program that's still operating, some Mormon programming, because it's very like chaperone dating. It's bizarre. So I tease him.
Apparently, ancient regimes used to threaten women if their men weren't playing ball or whatever. They'd threaten the women and tell them not to have sex with their men as a way to frustrate and debilitate the men.
Yeah. So I'm not very good at the whole astral realm. I haven't learned how to do all that stuff. And, you know, he's very patient. He's encouraging me to learn other things, but I'm still a noob. So I'm learning. And, you know, he's not easy to keep up with. Let's just say that he has an efficacy of stamina that they trained into him. I mean, that's part of Hell Week, and the whole reason why Navy SEALs go through Hell Week is to break them of their connections to this dimension and allow for their subconscious to reach another plane where they're unstoppable. They don't have any sense of time, so they'll just do whatever it takes for as long as it takes until the job is done. So they kind of created their own enemy. I, for one, am not that skilled. And that was a recent conversation we had, is that, you know, I'm a yoga mom who worked as a naturopathic doctor assistant. I care about the planet, the earth, and supporting the unfolding of consciousness and truth. And I do not have, you know, agency skill sets. I don't have that kind of training. I just come forward as a civilian, and I hope to inspire others to do whatever it takes to get behind people who are coming forward. In my opinion, Bill tried to do what Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning did. He did it 14, 15 years ago when there was no social media. This man has sustained for 15 years until a time where social media and consciousness was at a place where he could bring his truth forward. We really need to get behind these people, you know, and understand that if we allow things to happen to one person, we allow it to happen to all. And it needs to be of the utmost priority that Guantanamo Bay is closed.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They're just using that as a torture MK Ultra facility, aren't they? Ava Moore, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you again sometime. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Godspeed, Bill.
Thank you.